Hi, everyone. My name is Dr. Rita Roy, CEO of the National Spine Health Foundation, and I'm your host for the Get Back to It podcast, where we tell real stories of healing and recovery. What does it mean to get back to it? It means overcoming injury through treatments that work in order to return to the people and activities you love, whatever that looks like for you. It means getting back to your life. We're here to share the success stories of those who did just that. And some of these stories you're not going to believe. At the Get Back to It podcast, our goal is to tell stories of spinal champions who've been able to achieve a better quality of life through spinal health care. In today's episode, I am delighted to be speaking with Carrie Webb, who injured herself while doing gymnastics at the tender age of 8 years old. After a visit with a chiropractor and leaving in worse condition and no answers, she managed to live with her pain while competing in several more sports over many years. After seeing another chiropractor at age 17, she was told to stop playing all sports if she wanted to walk when she was 40. She continued playing sports through the pain and the flare-ups, which became complicated by Lyme disease. After extensive self-rehabilitation over many years, she was able to compete in marathons and triathlons. Now Carrie is doing all the things she loves, including biking, hiking, lifting, and many other activities. Now that you know what to expect, let's get back to it and dive right into Carrie's story.
Yes, that's right. I started having severe low back pain when I was 8 years old, when I was on a gymnastics team. It kept worsening and I had to stop training with the team. I didn't know what to do. So my mom had been seeing a chiropractor and she brought me in to see this practitioner. He manipulated my spine without an x-ray. And then all I remember is the next day, I couldn't even walk or put my clothes on. So my mom had to help me, carry me back into the office. And then I just wouldn't get treated ever again by him. So we walked back out, although I wasn't really walking.
Carrie went without answers and continued to play three sports in high school: cross country, basketball, and softball, but with significant amounts of back pain.
Yeah, so at that point, I had increased back pain. I didn't know what to do, but I'm a diehard athlete and I did not want to stop at all. And so we went to another doctor. This was again a chiropractor, and he took an x-ray of my spine. He found a spondylolisthesis, an old one, which would be about 10 years old at that time. And a spondylolisthesis is where there's actually a fracture in the vertebrae, and then the vertebrae slips forward one over the other. So it's a relatively unstable scenario, and it can, you know, obviously give a lot of pain. So I was basically dealing with a very unstable spine throughout my youth and my high school career without really knowing what it was.
Carrie contracted Lyme disease the summer before her freshman year of college, which created an inflammatory response in her lumbar spine, and she went into sepsis with meningitis.
So things took a turn for the worse before I went to college. Yeah, and it was very confusing for the medical community because there was a very large amount of swelling in my low back, which we attributed to the old spinal fracture, but it was actually Lyme disease, which, you know, often settles in peripheral joints like knees, elbows, something else. But this was in my low back as well. So this further created more pain. And I actually went into a septic state where I couldn't move my arms or legs for several hours until an IV antibiotic. So now I'm really in the hurt locker at that point in time, right before I'm going into my college. But I'm still determined at that point. I know I have to do something. So I had decided to become a physical therapist, and something's got to change. So I decided that that type of physical therapy made sense. The science seemed to add up to me, and I thought that approach could really be effective. So I went to school to become a physical therapist. And in college, that was my whole focus, except that I also wanted to play basketball. So while I'm in this, you know, kind of disastrous state of terrible spine stuff, meningitis, I still walked onto the team and made the team somehow. And then I ended up playing for 2 years at the collegiate level, but it was a rough time for me. It was, you know, increased competitive status and bigger girls that I'm playing against. And my back was really, really roughed up at that point in time. So, yeah. So I did end up playing collegiate basketball for 2 years, but I went up for a rebound in one of the practices and I got hit in the back from like a post player. So a pretty big girl. And I just remember hyperextending my spine, which isn't great for the type of spinal condition I had. And I hit the floor and for one split second, I didn't know if I would be able to stand back up. And for whatever reason, mentally, it just really shook me that I was kind of playing with fire at this point in time with such an unstable spine in a collegiate basketball environment. So that was actually the point where I was like, I've got to stop doing this.
Carrie went on to graduate with a physical therapy degree and has opened up a sports rehab practice. Carrie rehabbed her own back and has helped countless others manage their injuries.
Yeah, so basically my life was kind of predetermined back when I was 8 years old. It's been a huge mission for me. The thing is, after I went to physical therapy school, I really figured out what the right approach is for my type of spinal condition. I did not need surgery. I was able to bypass that with the right exercises and the right lifestyle means. And I was able to actually rehabilitate my own back. And at that point, I was feeling good. So now I'm in my, you know, maybe mid-20s and my back pain is little to nothing. And so I started running marathons just because I could run without pain anymore. So I just kept running and running. I got a little bit bored, so I switched over to triathlons. And then I kept running, biking, and swimming. And I ended up doing 2 Ironman triathlon distances as well. So those are the big ones. They take all day. They take a lot of training. But I was just so happy to be moving without pain that I literally just didn't stop moving.
That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. And so how's that going now? Are you able to compete? Or that takes a lot of time also to train for that level of.
Yeah, it sure does. And I was running a sports rehab practice as well. So I did actually compete with a local triathlon team for 10 years, did pretty well there. And then I got a little just burnt out by long distance stuff, but my back was doing great. So now I'm continuing to expand my practice and that's my focus, but I am an athlete at heart. So I love lifting. I do trail running. I'm hiking. We're actually going on a big bike trip. So our vacation in July is a 5-day bike tour in the Alps, like behind the Tour de France. Doing literally Alpe d'Huez and climbing summits and stuff like that. And then we're going to go hike in the Swiss Alps following that for another week.
Wow, Carrie, this is so exciting. Your story is so amazing. And I'm so excited to talk with you about this. And I've got so many questions for you. I think that one of the things that's so important is that, you know, you show what can happen with a really good plan, perseverance and commitment to your rehab and to your exercise and knowing what it's going to take to keep yourself safe and out of pain. And I think that is just remarkable. You know, I'm curious. So when you decided to go to college, had you been seeing physical therapists along the way during your high school athletic time?
Yeah, that's a good question. I did see a physical therapist when I was in high school during the Lyme disease episode, but it was a very confusing time again, because we didn't know what was what. And then I did see physical therapists on and off in college, as well as the athletic trainers. And that was pretty much half my time was spent in those places.
Yeah. So you knew heading into college that maybe physical therapy was going to be a career for you just based on your high school experiences, or was that something that emerged during your experience in college?
Oh, in high school, all I wanted to do was be a physical therapist.
That was okay. Yeah.
In high school, I was like, I think that physical therapy makes sense. The science seems to, you know, work out in my head for how to address these injuries. And so I'm literally going to college to be a physical therapist. And when I get out, I'm going to set up a practice that helps all the other athletes in the community so that they get the right diagnosis, they get the right rehab, and they get back to doing what they love and never lose hope.
Carrie, that is amazing. And that's what this story is all about, is giving people hope that they can overcome an injury or a condition and get back to doing the things that they love doing. Now, I'm curious. So when you were very young and in gymnastics and probably got the fracture during that time, mm-hmm. A lot of time went by from that incident where you saw the chiropractor, he did a manipulation, probably stung a nerve, you couldn't move for a little bit. Were you not scared at that point, or why did it take so long for you to go back to see another doctor? What happened during that interval?
I mean, as a kid, you think you're invincible. So, mm-hmm. And I think looking back, it's hard for me to say, but I think I actually didn't really know what it was like to not have pain and to be normal in that way. So it was more, we had a very tough it out mentality. Although I'm not sure that I conveyed how much pain I actually was in as a kid. Like, we kind of hide it, right? We just want to play sport. Coach put me in. You don't want to tell them you're in pain because you want to make sure you get into the game.
Yeah, that's right.
So I didn't know as a kid what types of doctors I could go to. And I think, you know, there was uncertainty. It was a small town. There weren't many people. Maybe not many options. So it was, you know, just keep kind of playing through the pain and hope it goes away. But you know, the more competitive the levels got, like into high school, the worse that it became. So then we had to seek out more help.
You had to seek more help. And along those ways, were there trainers that you were working with on that athletic journey through your childhood?
No, I mean, growing up in small town Connecticut, there were no athletic trainers in these schools, unlike around here where there, you know, like, I love to see that there is that kind of care for every athlete in these high schools. But we did not have that.
We really had
to seek private practice or, you know, figure out where the good doctors were. And generally, I mean, it's just such a small town, maybe not too many resources.
Yeah. So when you started doing your own rehab, were you in college at that point, or did you start doing some of those things in high school?
Well, yeah, high school, I had no idea what to do. I just knew the doctors were telling me, you know, it's not going to be okay. Don't play sports anymore. And I just thought that's not okay for me. I don't accept that.
That's not an option. Yeah. That's not an option for you.
And so, you know, the first couple of years in physical therapy school, you still don't know what you're doing. You're just building some basic anatomy knowledge up.
Yeah.
But by the time I got to junior and senior year, I started to really wrap my brain around how to rehab and what I could actually do for this. So I had stopped playing collegiate basketball after the sophomore year. And then I really started focusing on rehab. I threw in a couple pickup games here and there because I love basketball so much, but it was really more focused on my studies. And I mean, I was at my own first case study of a client.
right. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. So then you learned these techniques to manage, you know, pain and manage the pain that comes with the spondy. And all of a sudden you got yourself out of pain.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, because that dense connective tissue forms in that area, the whole time when I was young, I was so afraid of it being unstable and slipping. And that gets in your head, like, oh my gosh, my spine's going to slip. You kind of obsess with that visual of this unstable spine situation that sounds scary. But the more that I studied physical therapy and understood dense connective tissue grows in the area, I realized, because it had been so long, I mean, when I'm in my 20s, it's like, you know, a 20-year-old spondylolisthesis.
Right, right.
It was a stiff case and not an unstable case. So while I had been doing core historically, I realized I actually also had to focus on the mobility to get that area going in both the hips and the lumbopelvic region. And so that really started freeing up the compressive forces in that area. And then I learned, you know, particulars about shear and flexion and exercises and, you know, working some soft tissue around it.
What level is your spondyet? Curious, what level are you at?
Yeah, it's your L5S1 standard.
Okay, yes, right there. Yeah. Yep. I had a spondyet L4, L5, but mine was unstable. And well, for 10 years, it was pretty stable, but then I got a knee injury, which then made my back unstable and it, you know, the chain. Mm-hmm. And so I began to have nerve symptoms. And so that was when I had to go from just doing physical therapy and managing it with yoga, Pilates, and core strengthening to actually having to have surgical intervention. So it's interesting what the, you know, what the path and the journey can be. And it's different for everybody and it changes over time too, right? I mean, I think that's an interesting thing.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest point is really that, you know, physical therapy really isn't just a 4-week or an 8-week thing. For us, when it comes to spine, I always tell my clients and I tell myself this too, you know, everybody should be doing spinal mobility and exercises and core strengthening, but we just have a reason to really do it.
Yeah.
Right. And so the thing is, it's all about lifestyle. And for every single injury out there, the body likes to move. And when we don't is when we start to have a lot of issues. So, you know, keeping that body moving, and I don't sit a lot. I don't even like to sit. I just get bored sitting, but, you know, continues to change positions and making sure that, you know, really getting rid of these sedentary habits and creating this active lifestyle is just the key to not only my spinal injury, but honestly, most injuries.
Yeah. A body in motion stays in motion, right? I mean, I think that's law of physics, but it's kind of in our general, you know, dialogue and general understanding. But what does that actually mean? That means move. just move, get up and move. And it doesn't have to be like anything major. It can be just getting up every 30 minutes, right? We tell people who work at desks, set a timer, you know, stay hydrated. Cause when you drink water, guess what? You have to get up and go to the bathroom. So it's sort of this built in, like, you know, wellness thing when you stay hydrated and you have to get up and move and,
you know, and just getting that exercise in, you know, I easily do 5 to 6 days a week. Easily.
Yeah. And I think that the cool thing about exercise is that it is a healthy addiction, right? You begin to feel good and you crave that feeling and you just want to continue to have that, sort of how you were like, oh my gosh, my back pain's gone. I'm going to run a mile. I'm going to run 5 miles. I'm going to run 26 miles. I'm going to do that in an Ironman. Like you just feel so good. You want to just keep that good feeling going. So that's amazing. I was going to, you know, say about movement, one of the other conditions that there's actually a lot of scientific evidence around, movement being a type of therapy for, and that's arthritis. So there's a lot of, you know, sort of evidence-based, movement that actually can eliminate or reduce pain from arthritis. Arthritis being a condition that affects our spine, just like many other joints in our bodies. And that moving, you know, motion is lotion. It's just sort of that idea that if you can stay in motion, it's sometimes it's hard to get moving because that initial push to move hurts. Like it doesn't feel great to get over the inertia. But then once you do, that's an incredible feeling. And so to keep that going is what we want people to be doing, right? And you see that every day now in your physical therapy practice.
Yeah. My analogy is, you know, I reference the synovial fluid, the synovial joint fluid. And so I was like, that does not get into your joints unless you start moving. And that is the oil for your joints. So that's the way we lubricate these joints, even if they are arthritic. And certainly arthritis is not an end all be all. There's so much to do for it to make it feel incredibly better. But yeah, I mean, it's all about movement. And for me, as a physical therapist, it's all about strategic movement. So there are things that will make certain conditions better and certain conditions worse, but it's about having a strategy that's specific and customized.
Yeah, for each person. And I love what you said a few minutes ago about consistency. You know, a lot of times people will say, yeah, I went to physical therapy. I was really good about my rehab. I went, you know, twice a week for 4 weeks. And, you know, we're going, wait, that was supposed to create a habit and teach you how to do this. So you can now do this every day on your own or a few times a week on your own. Right.
Yeah. And I totally get it. Nobody wants to do their physical therapy home exercise program for the rest of their lives. So we encourage people to, you know, work with personal trainers or like adopt some activity that they think is really, really fun. And then in my practice, we do performance check-ins once a month where we check on the status of that athlete. We get ahead of anything brewing and then we set up corrective exercises for that month. But it's hard to know what to do sometimes, but going back to the pre-lifestyle of, you know, when you got injured, before you got injured, definitely does not help.
What do you say to people who say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to hurt myself, so I'm just going to take it really easy and not push myself? What do you say to that?
Yeah, that's such a good question. So, you know, the main thing is to really understand what is going on. So the biggest thing that we do is we empower people with the knowledge. When I was a kid, I didn't know what was going on with my back. But now that I do, I can understand, okay, when I move that direction, okay, that is going to hurt, but I know why it is. And so I can figure out strategies to rehab it, treat it, and then to fix it. But it's without having that knowledge of what it is and being empowered with that information, it is kind of challenging and it can be scary. But pain is only your body telling you, hey, something is a little off. Something is a little wrong and we need to address that.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I love what you said, empowering people with knowledge. I mean, that is our goal here at the National Spine Health Foundation. In fact, that's like our soundbite. That's our purpose is we give knowledge, we give hope, we empower people with knowledge and hope. And, you know, as you were talking about, you know, yourself knowing your anatomy and understanding what's going on in your body, I think one of the things that's so hard about spine is that the anatomy is complicated, right? You have bone, the vertebrae. There's a lot of them. There's 33 of them. You have discs in between the bones. You have nerves shooting out the sides of the bones, you know, and then you've got all these ligaments that are attaching to the bones for important muscles that move you through life. And so there is just a lot going on with the spine that is hard to learn and hard to know and to understand. Kind of makes me think about, you know, your very first experience going to the first chiropractor when you were little and no x-ray was taken of what was going on.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that and what your thoughts are on that at this point, knowing what you know.
Yeah. Whenever we see young children, young athletes with that type of back pain, inevitably there's usually a stress fracture under there. So this was really a textbook case scenario. And so absolutely that x-ray should have been taken. Again, this was a long time ago in a small town. I think that the chiropractors weren't really seeing the young children and the youth athletes, but it would have given all the information we needed at that point in time. And, you know, a good practitioner really could have changed the game right there. But I look back and this has crafted my entire life. So I'm actually grateful for every part of this experience because I know exactly, you know, how to relate to clients and how people feel. And most importantly, what it feels like when you don't know what to do. You're scared. You don't want to be in pain. You're tired, you know, but you don't want to give up and you need solutions. And, you know, I can understand that entire journey and, that's why I do what I do.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, I think the silver lining of getting a condition, you know, a spine condition earlier in life is that it does teach you how important it is and what to do to take care of your spine. And that carries you through life. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, definitely a silver lining there in your life for sure. And how amazing for you to be able to relate to your patients that are coming in for physical therapy. That, I mean, I just think that's such a gift that you can give to the people who you see, because you can relate to it and you know what it feels like.
Yeah. And it's really fulfilling, because every day, you know, I get to help people get out of pain every day. And when you get to see them have the small victories, the big victories, getting back to the activity and ultimately the joy in their lives. I tell my team, I say, hey, you know, we're not necessarily, a profession that's life or death as physical therapists, but we're quality of life. And when we do our jobs well and our clients, you know, lock into the plans, I mean, this is a dramatic change in the direction that people's lives go. And so we are just honored to be a part of that journey and, you know, blessed to be, you know, good at science and have this affinity to physical therapy and be able to do this type of work.
Yeah, that's incredible. I do want to underscore what you said, Carrie, about, you know, helping people with their quality of life. And that while that may not seem like a life-saving thing, if you are a person who has been debilitated by pain, by spine condition, it does kind of feel like life as you know it has ended. And, you know, people get depression that can lead to suicidal thoughts, which can be life-ending. The other thing that happens with low mobility is that you can develop cardiovascular conditions. I mean, there are other health hazards that come with low mobility and low functional life. And so, yes, it's improving the quality of life, but that means also the quality of your health. And that's the overall way that you live. And so it is sort of restoring life in many ways. And that's why I think that, you know, the work that physical therapists do is so important and so critical to life and to life being lived well. Get back to it, right? You want to get back to it. You want to get back to whatever it is that you love doing. What do you tell people who don't know how to get to a physical therapist? So I know there are a number of states in our country where you don't need a prescription to see a physical therapist. Can you talk about access to physical therapy, what that's like?
Yes. Over the last 10 years, we've made such progress in the industry. I couldn't be more excited. And Virginia finally, as of June of last year, adopted a unlimited direct access policy. So wow. Yeah, I'm so excited about it. Mm-hmm. So what that means is anyone can go straight to the physical therapist without a prescription from another doctor, which, you know, I'm super excited about, because we know the earlier that you treat an injury, especially if it's in the golden window of the first 2 weeks, it expedites the recovery. In fact, it can cut it in half. So the faster you can get it treated, our results are so quick, because people can just come in straight to us. Sometimes they'll see us the day after an injury, or, you know, within a week. And it's just so amazing how fast we can get them back. So direct access has been gold. Yeah.
And are there many states around the country that offer that? Do you know?
Yeah. So there's I don't know what the count is. It's got to be in the strong 40s, and they're, you know, it's different types of regulation, but certainly DC and DC, Maryland, Virginia, I believe West Virginia as well, all have unlimited direct access.
That's great. So we would encourage listeners to, just sort of Google that or call your local physical therapist and ask about access or what they need to be able to be seen. So one question about access to care, what would be the difference between going to see a chiropractor or a physical therapist, and how should people think about which practitioner to go to?
That's a great question. Every practitioner is a little different, but when it comes to physical therapy, we're looking at the body as a whole. I specialize in sports rehabilitation. So this is, even a different setting than general orthopedics. Mm-hmm. But we are really looking at the client globally And the main things that we do is number one, we fix the pain, we get rid of the pain. Number two, we find the cause. And that's the most important thing, to figure out what is driving that pain. And again, educating the client. If the client knows what is going on, they suddenly become in control instead of out of control. And then number three, we create a long-term solution for resilience and injury prevention. So physical therapists, generally, we're blending hands-on treatment with manual therapy, joint mobilizations, good, strong, strategic exercises specific to the client, and a lot of movement retraining, retraining how the body's moving, whether it's in sports or, you know, your ADLs, like lifting things around the house or that type of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, thank you for that explanation. That's fantastic. And I'm just so excited to sort of announce from the mountaintops that people can just go to physical therapy. They feel like they need it, go get it and go talk to a professional. And, you know, there are all these new things. There's dry needling for muscles. There's functional stretching. You know, just lots of different things to learn about and strategies for getting movement going. And that movement helps, you know, helps pain, helps the joints, helps the total body sort of move through life, which I love what you're saying. That's so important. Yeah. So fantastic.
And we're trained to screen out too. So if this did, so say, you know, someone came in to see us, but physical therapy was not the appropriate type of treatment, we would be able to refer out to an orthopedic doctor, you know, or a rheumatologist, who knows, you know, we can send people in the right direction. But 90% of the musculoskeletal injuries, we can just handle and get going day one.
That's amazing. That's awesome. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, with the spine, with the spondy or other conditions in the spine, the, you know, when the nerves are involved, that brings the treatment to a different sort of level. And that's something that a physical therapist also can help identify. You know, we use words like radiculopathy and, you know, other kinds of myelopathies or nerve pain. That nerve is being stimulated by something that maybe is anatomically going wrong that might need some kind of correction, whether it's an injection or surgical treatment or not. And a physical therapist can be that first line of helping to think through what does this journey going to look like? And that's fantastic.
And we love collaborating with other healthcare practitioners to bring all the worlds together for our single client.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. Well, Carrie, this has been an absolutely fascinating conversation. So many lessons to learn from your life story. And I'm just so appreciative that you've taken the time to share this with us today. And it's really cool how your spine journey has, you know, created a whole life for yourself in terms of your career and how you go through life. Like that's taking lemons and making lemonade, I think, out of what you've done and your perseverance, your, you know, unwillingness to give up, unwillingness to take no for an answer, driving you to find solutions. That is fantastic. And I applaud you. You're inspiring and it's awesome.
Thank you so much for having me. You know, I've been practicing for 24 years now, and I feel just as fiery and as passionate as ever about helping inspire people to get rid of their back pain and to get rid of their injuries.
At the National Spine Health Foundation, something we believe in most is providing hope for recovery through sharing stories of success and expertise. It isn't always easy to find someone to relate to, even though 100 million adults suffer from neck or low back pain each year. To hear more stories of spinal champion recovery and to access educational materials about spine health, visit us at spinehealth.org. If you're interested in supporting our show financially, you can contribute at the link provided. Thank you for listening.